From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. The top U.S. military commander in Afghanistan is telling Congress he thinks President Obama needs to rethink current U.S. strategy there. Testifying before the Senate Armed Services Committee, General John Campbell saying the U.S. should revise a current plan that would cut the number of Americans on the ground, saying conditions have changed significantly since the plan was proposed last year.
Despite the myriad of challenges, the fundamental partnership between the coalition and the Afghan government remains durable. The difference between the Ghani administration and the previous administration is like night and day. At every level, coalition and Afghan leaders continue to work together in pursuit of shared objectives.
Testimony comes 3 days after a U.S. airstrike on a medical clinic claimed the lives of at least 22 people. Campbell told lawmakers today the attack was a mistake that occurred despite rigorous controls. In South Carolina, the rains have subsided, but the flooding continues to cause damage. All told, authorities say the death toll from flooding in the South has now risen to 17. And Columbia, South Carolina faces a new problem, running out of fresh water from a damaged reservoir. WHQR's Laura Hunsberger has more.
The flooding caused water in a canal to breach a levee and flow out into the river. The National Guard and the city are working to stop the flow of water out of Columbia's crucial reservoir. They're building a rock dam to slow the current enough to allow helicopters to fill the 60-foot breach. Justin Whitesides, a civil engineering student, came to watch.
The National Guard was filling up sandbags to bring in and drop down in the middle, along with maybe some shipping containers to fill in the void.
Repairing the breach in the levee is critical. If the canal's levels continue to drop, most of the city will be without access to water. For NPR News, I'm Laura Hunsberger in Columbia, South Carolina.
The European Union's highest court has struck down a pact used by thousands of companies to transfer data from Europe to the U.S. NPR's Laura Seidel explains the decision was a victory for privacy advocates but could be costly for many American companies.
The Safe Harbor Pact is used by about 4,500 companies, including Apple and Facebook. It allows the companies to transfer personal data to the U.S. used to target ads to customers in Europe and to store human resource information about European employees. The decision to overturn it came after an Austrian citizen filed a complaint against Facebook. He claimed revelations by Edward Snowden showed the company was not sufficiently protecting user data from mass surveillance and that it violated Europe's tougher privacy laws. EU law provides a way to transfer personal data legally, but it's harder and more expensive to implement. Laura Seidel, NPR News.
The International Monetary Fund is out with another revision to its global growth forecast. According to the IMF, it now expects the world economy to expand at only a 3.1% rate this year. A mixed close on Wall Street. The Dow was up 13 points. The Nasdaq closed down 32 points. This is NPR. Turkey is warning the European Union it should expect as many as 3 million more refugees to flee fighting in Syria. Around 2 million refugees are in Turkey already, while tens of thousands of others have entered the EU via Greece. EU Council President Donald Tusk said today Turkey anticipates the millions of additional refugees will come from Aleppo and its neighborhoods. The latest estimate comes as the EU continues to deal with a refugee crisis that has now reached unprecedented proportions. Search operations continue today for possible survivors of the U.S.-flagged cargo ship El Faro. NPR's Greg Allen says the company is responding to questions about the journey of that vessel, which sank in Hurricane Joaquin with 33 crew members on board.
Executives with Tote Maritime, the ship's owners, are defending the captain's decision to take the El Faro into the path of the storm. Joaquin was just a tropical storm when the El Faro left port in Jacksonville Tuesday. By Thursday, Captain Michael Davidson alerted the company the ship was listing to one side and had lost propulsion. The El Faro sank soon afterwards. In Jacksonville, Tote Services President Phil Green said the company raised no objections to Davidson's voyage plan.
Given what he had in the way of information about the weather system, his plan was a sound plan that would have enabled him to clearly pass around the storm with a margin of comfort.
The National Transportation Safety Board has already begun an investigation. Greg Allen, NPR News, Miami.
Crude oil futures prices closed sharply higher today. The price of oil was up $2.27 a barrel, ending the session at $48.53 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News, in Washington.
From the latest newscast to the newest podcast, NPR One handpicks local, national, and international stories based on what you like. Download the NPR One app. A new way to experience public radio.